everybody out there in VBS land. This is Terry, and Wynn's going to join us in a minute. And this is the Monday Night Show. He doesn't ever tell me what the topic's going to be until we're on the air. And so we go from there. And it's good to feel everybody out there, even though if you're on the VBS radio line, you can't say hello. We also have a conference line where people have called in, and some of the people have checked in and given their name and city. We have Ed in North Carolina, and we have Oren in Philadelphia. And would anybody else like to say their name and city?
I can tell you two more names, which is Michael in San Diego, Chris in Memphis, and Connie in West Missouri. And there might be some more people who have joined. If you want to go ahead and say your name and city, please do so. I guess that's not the case, so
right.
We are.
Or not, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome, everybody. Hey, Teddy, you want to take... Teddy, please take the mic.
Yeah, we'll take the mic. Maybe I can override the buzzsaw in the background there. Somebody else just checked in. Would you like to say your name and city? That's a shy one. Well, hello to you, wherever you are. As Jimmy Duran used to say, good night, Mrs. Callahan, wherever you are. I might have the name wrong. Hello, would you like to say your name and city?
There is Wynn joining us.
Is Wynn on the line yet? Hello, would you like to say your name and city? Hi, Steve. Do you think these people are muted?
Can you hear me, Terry?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. I thought that I heard Wynn pressing some numbers. I think everybody's still unmuted at this point.
Yeah, so hello there. The last three people that checked in, we're glad to have you on the line. Hello, would you like to say your name and city?
Yes, this is Gary from Encinitas.
Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Wynn's going to be on the line in a minute, and he hasn't told me what the topic is tonight. He always waits until he announces it on the air. Hello, would you like to see your name and city?
Mary Creek.
Hello, would you like to see your name and city?
Yes, this is Leanna from Portland.
Hi, Leanna, up there in Portland. I say up there because
hey.
I'm in Los Angeles.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Are you in Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine?
Yes, it's Portland, Oregon.
Welcome. Hello, would you
Thank
like
you.
To see your name and city? Somebody had just checked on. Would you like to say your name and city?
Yes, this is Angelo in Delaware.
Hello, Angelo. We're waiting for Wynn. He's going to be on in just a minute.
Okay.
I'm getting very close.
Right.
Hello to everybody in BDS land. Usually, there's somebody that just came on.
Hello, Wynn.
Is that Bridget?
Yes.
You're in trouble. I know your voice.
Now I'm in trouble, I know.
All right. All right. Disregard that busy signal. We are not busy yet. We're waiting for Wynn. He's going to be on in just a minute. And we have a setup here where a number of people are listening to us on VBS radio. And then a number of other people have called into conference line. We have people from someone from Delaware and somebody from Philadelphia, somebody from San Diego, somebody from Portland, and somebody from, I believe it was Minneapolis. So we have people, and I know I've left out a few, so we have people from all over the United States, and sometimes we have people from other parts of the world. Sometimes we have more people from the European area because the people in China, although we sometimes have people from China, and sometimes they wake up about 2 in the morning to 4 in the morning to listen to us. But the majority of people from the area listen on the playback line. So it's delightful to have everybody on today, and I don't know the topic yet, as Lynn is going to announce that when he gets on the air, and he should be with us momentarily. Did anyone else check in that would like to say their name and city that we didn't hear from yet? All right. Well, my name is Terry Brown, and I've been working with Wynn for a number of years. Actually, I've been working with him for about 30 years. Maybe longer, but we've only been working together concerning the channeling and the bringing through of information interdimensionally since about 2001. About 1995, I tried to introduce him to the field of bringing through interdimensional communications. However, I couldn't get him to be interested in the area, and it took maybe 6 more years for him to get interested after he met a new girlfriend named Daphne, and she began bringing through information, which was really astounding information. So I was introduced to interdimensional communication in 1995, or actually 1993, 94, 95, when I went to channelings hosted by Cheryl Taylor, she channeled the Council of Light. The Council of Light was a group of individuals who were working together from the other side. She had some incredible, beautiful, beautiful channelings. And when she would be channeling, she'd walk across the room. You'd be able to see light just trailing off of her. And she had an amazing amount of topics. Like one of them was how to detoxify atomic energy so that when you put it into a, instead of putting it into barrels in some kind of a waste dump, you would put it through a process which would reestablish the electrons within the orbits and make it, bring it back to normal radiation. So, she eventually moved to Colorado and then moved to Northern California. And when she moved, then she did not, I lost track of her. And one of my wishes is to be able to get back in touch with her and maybe eventually to get copies of her channeling. I have a couple boxes of tapes but she attempted to transcribe all of the tapes and put them into book form, which I would love to see. Wynn, are you back yet with us? Well, it looks like I'm still on the air. I just checked in case. So, has anybody else called in that would like to say their name and city? No. Okay. So I'll give a few minutes more here, and Wynn should be showing up soon. One of the things that happened when I was working with Sheriff Taylor in 1991, I broke my left hip, and the doctors tried to put it back together, but they told me that it was beyond repair and that it was I was going to lose it and that it was totally dead. And that it would be just a matter of years before it would fall apart. Well, as of today, it hasn't fallen apart, and I don't have any hardware on there. But what happened was I was reading a book by Gurdjieff, and I had been asking the Elohim, not the Elohim, the Council of Light is what they were called then, but I have suspicions that the Elohim may have had something to do with the channelings also, and perhaps even Ra in the channelings of Cheryl Taylor. And I was asking them in channelings what to do about my left hip. And they would say things like, well, you're a little bit overweight, and you don't exercise, and you expect us to heal your hip? And I would say, yes, please. And eventually, after a while, they said, yes, they would. And so then at one point, I was reading a book by Gurdjieff, and Gurdjieff showed up. Some of you may know who Gurdjieff is. He was a mystic from the Mideast who made quite an impact on the mystical world. And he showed up. He was not alive in the body at that time, and he showed up in my room, and he did some healing on my hip. I really didn't even expect it, and the hip became very sore and started to heal. And then the next time I went to a channeling by Joel Taylor, she said it was Gurdjieff coming through that time. Some of you may have read the books by Gurdjieff. Wynn, I think I hear you back. Is that right?
I'm back.
Wonderful. Hey, okay.
Says you've been a real trooper.
Okay.
Oh my God, we put Terry in the seat today, and she did it. You know what the problem is for some reason the conference calling on my cell phone isn't working. So I haven't been able to duplex the conference line into this. So I went into the conference line, and I told them, have somebody play it on their computer, and so they'll be able to hear. And so I'm assuming that's working, and thank you, whoever's doing that, and those of you on the conference line, since I'm not there to mute everybody, I want to suggest, aside from the person that is putting the computer on, that you all mute each other, but mute yourselves by doing *6. And that will keep the line relatively quiet. Thank you.
Terry is sharing a little bit of, about her background, and, you know, I think we're doing something rather unusual on these calls and in this work. And we've been doing it long enough, so we might as well say what it is, call it for what it is. And that is, we're having communications with sources that say they are at the beginning of creation. What does it mean to be at the beginning of creation? Well, according to them, we're living in a hologram, and that what we experience as time is really not an absolute, even though it seems that way when you're in this dimension, the dimension we're in. And according to them, all time exists simultaneously, and that there are multiple timelines that exist simultaneously. What's a multiple timeline? That's a place where time moves at a different speed. And we could call it a different dimension or a different density. Whatever you call it, it's not easy to grasp it because we are so locked into third density that you have to describe something in third density terms that is not third density. So essentially, it's like going up to a blind man and trying to explain to him what vision is. Well, on these calls, we've had many, many, many conversations with our sources. Now, the interesting thing is that they describe they are outside of time, and they can look down into time, but we can't, or we have an awfully hard time looking outside of time. Even Terry. Terry, well, you know, anyone who knows Terry wonders if she's really here in time. Can we say that, Terry? Terry, are you there?
Probably a lot of people think that, but not everybody, maybe.
Some people say that because, I guess, Terry, how would you describe you in 3D? She is this joyous, cheery person that Is Bumble a good word? I'm not being offensive. I'm saying that, you know, she can look around and be bumbly because, like part of her isn't here. Now, probably there was a period of her life when she said, geez, I wonder if there's something wrong with me. Why am I so bumbly? Well, you know, as I've gotten to know Terry, I said, well, it's because part of you isn't here. Part of you is there. And, but she tries to explain what it's like to be there in terms of here, and we barely understand it. But that being said, each of us is on an evolutionary path through timelines. And according to what our sources say, we all spend quite a long time in this timeline on Earth. And quite a long time means maybe hundreds of thousands of years and multiple lifetimes. And so this same energy form that is you keeps coming back. And every time you come back, you don't remember anything. You have amnesia. And so you continue over many, 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 many lifetimes with amnesia, and you take different talents, and then you carry them in your little computer. You take different resentments, and you carry them. What I've learned is you meet the same people over and over again, but you don't know they're the same people. But when you meet somebody and you have an automatic affinity with them, it's very likely that that's because you knew them in other lifetimes. And same thing as when you don't like somebody when you first meet them, And I think it's rare that you have an ongoing relationship with anyone in this realm that you haven't known before. And keep in mind, if you've had thousands of lifetimes, how many people do you know each lifetime? Quite a few. So that means you know a lot of people. And somehow our energies bring us into the path of the people that we need to work things out with. Well, if you got my email tonight, I said we were going to discuss what is the most important thing right now. And, you know, this was really in response to a question somebody sent me today. And she said, "When could you talk about this?" And I said, I think that it's a very direct question that is very important to all of you. Now, why is it important? The question is, how do I keep my heart open? How do I get my heart open? How do you know if your heart's open? You know, I know that I meet people that think their hearts are open, but I don't think their hearts are open. They're in their heads. And so, how do you know? What's your gauge of looking at yourself and saying, is my heart open? Why is having your heart open so important? Well, in other lifetimes, of course, having an open heart is always important. It's always a manifestation of spirituality and oneness. But right now, if we believe all the messages in my book from David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, if we believe the messages of Carla Ruckert, if we believe the messages I've gotten from both Daphne and Terry, having your heart open right now is extremely important for the following reason. The Earth is going through a graduation. There's something in Eastern religion, which they call chakras, and every human has seven chakras, or energy centers, and each chakra is an energy center that not only is an energy center for your body, but it's also a gateway into other dimensions. And so, if I was going to tell you the seven energy centers, it would start out with one at the base of the spine called the root chakra, which has to do with survival, the genitals, sexual chakra, which has to do with sex and creativity, the solar plexus chakra, the stomach area, which has to do with power and individuality, and the heart chakra, which has to do with compassion and empathy, then the throat chakra, which has to do with communication, the third eye, which I'm sure all of you are familiar with that from the people that wear little dots on their foreheads, the third eye, which is right on the top of your forehead, which has to do with psychic awareness, and the seventh chakra, which has to do with, it's described as the crown of your head, the gateway to infinite intelligence, the gateway to other dimensions, okay? And so, a human goes through a period of evolution in many different realms, in many different lifetimes, opening up all these chakras. And the Earth is also a live being that has chakras, so to speak. It's simplifying it probably, but from my understanding, thinking of the Earth as having chakras helps me understand this. And because we are at the cycle end, the Earth is moving from third chakra, which is power, to fourth chakra, which is heart, empathy, compassion. And that essentially what that means is in the future, the paradigm on Earth, the experience is going to be one of compassion and empathy. In the past, for most people, the experience on Earth was power and individuality. Now, there's no positive or negative, right or wrong. In fact, there's not even higher or lower. It just is all of that. We have to go through understanding our power and our individuality in order to love. Because if you're going to love, you have to love from yourself, your own individuality. So developing the third chakra is important step in moving to the fourth chakra, which is the heart, compassion, empathy. Now, why is this important? Why is this so very important? If, again, if we believe everything we've heard from our sources, and not just my sources, Carla Ruckert, David Wilcock, and we can even include Jesus here, because the Earth is moving into fourth chakra right now, there's going to be a division of souls. Because in order to participate in this fourth chakra heart-based Earth, your own heart has to be open slightly more than half. So it's like getting a square peg in a round hole. If your heart's not open, it doesn't fit. And so, now, this is something I can't validate, so you can take this or leave this, but it's come from so many different sources in my life that I tend to think it's true. There is a division of souls. Those who are going to participate in this upgraded Earth and those who could be called cycle repeaters, who are going to repeat the lessons of the third chakra, supposedly on another planet in another star system, for perhaps millions of years. And so if this is true, your ability to open up your heart chakra is crucial for you to graduate this realm. And as you may have already learned, this is not something you can do by willpower. You can't display compassion out of an act of fear, like, uh-oh, I better be nice because otherwise I won't graduate this realm. That won't work. That's not real. That's actually trying to control things. So this is a crucial question. How do you keep your heart open? And that is what we're going to be talking to our sources about. We have 20 minutes, and I can't record this because I'm not on the conference line. That's okay. We'll take the recording from the BBS line. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Can you get a little closer to the mic, please?
I'm about as close to the mic as I can get. I'm holding the phone in my hand.
All right. I can hear you okay. That's good. When you hold it in your hand, keep in mind that little microphone has a little open little circle cut in it. And if your hand is covering the circle, you know, where the hole is cut, you'll be muting the microphone. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Okay. So let me call in the light, and we will ask questions on this topic. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the center of the galaxy, through the galaxy, through the solar system, through the outer fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we create, invoke a group energy for all those on the line who wish to partake of experience, are open to it. If you take a moment, shut your eyes, take your shoes off, you might feel the connection. You might feel the energy moving. And when you feel that energy, you are actually in another dimension. That energy is not of this earth. And we invite our sources, these group souls, to join with our energies and create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And I await our source indicating their presence.
This is Ra'an, and we greet you, one and all, and everyone who will eventually listen to the tape or the playback of the show. And we greet you on this 26th day of July 2010. And we are taking just a second to get focused, and with the topic, and we touch base with each and every individual on the line and on the radio show. We are mindful of the topic of the open heart. We, as the Elohim, do not have a body. We are a group of individual energetic souls that are working together and communicate via telepathy. We do not have a veil between us, and therefore we just automatically know without having to go through the filters. However, when we get into third density, we begin to see the filters that are kept in place, and the filters are one of the things that prevents the heart from being open, as the filter contains othernesses, it contains prejudices and beliefs that the individual has picked up in the past and is carrying with them into the now, and is acting in the now as if those things were true in the past, and therefore they close down their energetic connection with others, which you may also call an open heart, in an effort to protect themselves and to put a barrier between them and others so that they will not be hurt. However, in the putting of the barrier, and also another reason for the putting of the barrier, is that they don't totally know what they're doing when they are simply trying to survive. And they are cutting others out and taking advantage of others in their effort to survive. This is called service to self. And there is a balance that a person may reach between service to self and service to others, so that when they feel the joy and the connection with others, they are beginning to come back to the home realm, where in the energy between each other flows, and there aren't huge barriers, or there does not need to be protection. One of the reasons that this need for protection comes in is because as the body grows old, and as the body may be injured or suffer traumatic instance of the body, then which the individual has connected their own identity with, then they feel that their own identity is lessening and going away. And it is not true that this is happening. However, by the thinking that this is happening to some degree, then they manifest that there seems to be a horrendous amount of fire trucks in the distance, which one would be able to hear on this line. The open heart is equivalent to the ability of the person to be here in the now and to be present and to give and take and communicate and to communicate and be present within his body, in to be present in his heart area. And due to trauma, sometimes this heart area is hard to get the energy to flow to, as the signals have been lost over time or redirected based upon the individual's desire to protect oneself or the actual filaments within the body redirecting energy away or stopping energy, blockages of energy due to past injuries, which tend to shut down the spider web of nerves and connections that are under the skin and block the individual's connection with his body, and then the individual does not have full ability to be in the present in his body, in all parts of his or her body. There are things called network chiropractic that can help reestablish connections, and indeed in some of the higher levels of network chiropractic have a ability to reestablish the signals within the body and to open one's heart. The practitioner one sees in network chiropractic is important, as some of the practitioners have a better skill and a better ability to be in touch with the individual. Those are our comments, our opening comments. Do you have questions?
Well, one thing you brought up was there are people who do certain kinds of practices that help open those pathways in the heart. There's certain kinds of therapies, which I don't know them all, and I haven't done too many of them, but I know they work for people. A therapy, for example, years ago there was something called primal therapy, where people would go through learning how to scream and go through their traumas, I know that many people carry traumas, and the traumas sometimes relate to the way they died in previous lifetimes, and that they carry a subconscious fear that that will repeat itself, and that fear keeps them closed down. The fear of a very uncomfortable or painful death. That's one of the traumas. I'm sure there's many others. If a person has traumas that are lodged in their system, how can they know if they have a trauma? And you mentioned network chiropractic. I mean, there's shamans, there's everyone today is working on people. If you find a person who does some kind of therapy, whether it's a shaman or a psychiatrist, I'm not sure I would recommend a psychiatrist, but if they're a loving person that can love you through therapy in an unconditional way, are those things that can help?
Yes, one needs to evaluate the practitioner that one goes through. And one could evaluate this by seeing honestly whether the practice is helping, as one has it, his, her own compass, which can tell whether something is wrong. And when one has diverged from their home base of open and cheerful give and take and the ability to receive and to give love, one can realize in their heart that something is wrong and that there is room to expand and to open and to be more loving. If one finds themselves being jealous, then they have some sort of a closed downness that has taken hold earlier in their childhood that has prevented them from getting the love that they need. And it could have been instigated by the parents or by the caring of the child in the womb and experiencing the mother's emotions and anger, and then to go into life already set or be set with behaviors which by this time are unique and are set and not knowing where they have come from. So when one has their own compass and they know that there is room to make things better in their own life, and they see others that are giving and taking, and they wish that this could happen with themselves, then there is room for improvement. And there are blocks because the individual starts out as a part and parcel of the God energy, and they have this wholeness within them. And so they do have a reference point somewhere in the past, which can lead through them to the present, and they can see, set their compass, check their vibrations. Do they yearn for something? Do they wish for something more? And then they can find a practitioner who they see is working. It is working within themselves to help clear
this. And not all, let's say, network chiropractors would have the same effect as some others, as some are more able to free the individual and to help the heart to open, or the acupuncturist in working to get the energy flowing through the body, or the acupressurist. Wherever there is a flow within the body that is stopped up and not working, wherever the voltage is not correct, where the voltage has fallen lower, where there is no energy, and the answer can be in a number of areas. Nutrition will help also to digest your food, to get that body working, to get the energy to the body, then more than one practitioner may help one in the area of nutrition. And be careful whom you choose to be your specialist, should you choose one. And if it does not seem that your specialist is having an effect, then check with other people to see what may work better. Do not be satisfied with something that is barely working.
I wanted to share a little rule of thumb that I use when I'm looking for something. That is, when you talk to somebody and you have an introductory conversation, it's very easy to get pulled in by their personality and their charisma. And I've learned never to make a decision, or very rarely make a decision in the moment, but to go home and think of, have 10 choices, like talk to 10 people that might be able to help you. And then when you're by yourself in your own space, meditate on each person and feel the energy between you and that person. When you're outside of their direct personality, and go, if you do that and you go with the energy, you'll make a far more intuitive choice than someone who has a great sales technique to tell you about how good they are and how much they can do for you. Because many people that do this kind of work have agendas, and the agenda is to make money. And not that everyone needs to make money, and that's not to hold that against anybody. But when you're doing the service of helping repair you, you want to work with someone who has a higher motivation than just making money. And then they make money underneath that. And that way you'll get a truly loving being who really wants to help and is not just looking at you as somebody to come in once a week and collect $100 from. Now, I have more questions, and time is running out. So I think next week we're going to ask questions on how do you know if your heart's open? How can you find someone that needs you, that you can help, that can help you open your heart? You know, there's another rule of thumb, which is, and I think Neil Donald Walsh said this, and he said, if you want to be something, give someone else the experience of what you want to be, and you will have to have the experience for yourself as well. In other words, if you want to make, if you're unhappy and you tell a joke and you laugh when you tell the joke and someone else laughs, you've cheered yourself up. So how do you open someone else's heart up? If you open someone else's heart up, you have to open yours as well. You can't do it without opening yours. So we're going to look at the ways that you can do that next week and take advantage of this high-energy shift that we're in. I hope everyone's listening on the conference line. We're not simulcast tonight. I thank you all. Sorry we can't live with the technology went screwy, and we're just on BBS. And do we have any closing comments? What time is it? We have 1 minute. We better forego closing comments. Good night to everyone on BBS. Seth is going to have to put his next show on the air. We'll see you all Wednesday on our conference line. We'll ask your questions to our sources. And have a wonderful